explain a little bit what was going on during this period and why you called it the Cultural Revolution at the time. And also a kind of role, I mean, you played an important role at that point in keeping people in the faith, so to speak, right? I'm thinking of, and religious people like Mary Catherine Rabbit, for example, right?
Yeah, well, people were asked to leave. You know, because Caesar was in the process of kind of like winnowing down, you know, like bringing everyone together on one path, and letting other people go.
And that path.
Sometimes it was a polite departure. Sometimes it was an ugly departure. And then people around the country who knew these staff people would write to me and say, like, what's going on? And I tried my best. Richard wrote me in, because one of his good friends was just thrown out. And he couldn't understand it. And to some extent, I couldn't understand it. And sometimes I would talk to Caesar about it. And he would, almost always, if I pushed him hard, sometimes he would say, well, you know, Chris, let's not talk about this anymore. And other times he would say, you just can't understand. You don't sit in my seat. You don't know whether other people are directing attacks at me. I mean, you assume that everybody is here is for the same purpose, and we're all together, and we're all, you know, good people, but you don't know everything that's going on because you don't sit in my seat. And I couldn't argue with that. But so some people left who shouldn't have left. I'd say many people left who shouldn't have left, but he was in the process of kind of like trimming sails.
And Chris, you said he wanted everyone on the same path. Well, explain what you think that path was.
Okay, in retrospect, at the time, I just tried to explain it to the best way I could, I tried to interpret it in the best way I could. It was not always adequate, but you know, I was kind of skilled at interpreting Caesar's motives and moves by that time. But what actually was going on was that Caesar from the beginning, and this I learned from Miriam's book, I did not understand this until she wrote this book. From the beginning, Caesar had this vision of a nonviolent movement based on voluntary poverty and sacrifice and service. And that's what he believed in. And it never occurred to me that that vision might be in conflict with building a farm workers union, a union in which farm workers were fully participant and making decisions. And he got to the point where, you know, he just, like, if farm workers couldn't live on, that was by $10 a week then, $10 a week in room and board, then, you know, kind of like, the hell with them. We'll get people who will, and who will join in this vision. So people were being kind of like pushed out who would not, you know, who could not accept this vision that was his vision. And he thought we all understood that. And I believed in his vision, and I followed his vision. And but not everyone did. And so some people left, and some people were pushed out. And I think the game, the Synanon game, came to the pause partly to help discover.
Explain for people who weren't born then.
Oh, yeah. People don't know what Synanon is. They don't know what the game is, right? Well, it's like sensitivity training from the streets, or sensitivity training from the prison. It was designed for alcoholics and drug addicts and former prisoners. And it was very effective in treating addiction. And that's where Synanon began and got its start. But basically, it's 10 or 12 people in a room, and somebody gets indicted. Miriam, why were you late? Good grief. And then everybody jumps in. And then people start saying, Miriam's always late. Why can't you get places on time? And then somebody else would jump in and say, yeah, no, Miriam, our meeting went to hell last week because you were late. And so a lot of exaggeration, a lot of humor, usually in an indictment, there was like a grain of truth in the indictment. And some of these games are very, very serious and troublingly serious. So anyway, Caesar learned that from Synanon and from Chuck Diedrich, and I think Chuck Diedrich persuaded Caesar that this would be a good way to maintain control of who was staff and who was not staff.
So let me do a little context of what's going on for the people who didn't live through this, okay? While Caesar is going through all this and having these conversations with Chris about communes and talking about the poor people's movement, there are these still more or less all volunteer staff out there trying to win elections, negotiate contracts, administer contracts. The union does have a whole bunch of members. They've got grievances, they want services. They want better wages and working conditions. They want the medical plan to work. The growers are, you know, want to be able to negotiate with the same person every week and not find that when they go to the negotiations, there is somebody they've never met before because the person they were negotiating with quit, was fired, was moved to fill in for somebody else who quit or was fired. So there's this whole other administrative nightmare all around the state of California in various different places. People like Jim Drake trying to sort of deal with this and make things actually work on the ground. And a lot of frustration building up among those people who don't know about the conversations about the commune, don't really understand about the vision of the Poor People's Union, do understand that people are being purged and not quite sure why, and are a little baffled by why Caesar's not paying more attention to what they're doing and doesn't regard what they're doing as missionary work. That was his term. He talks about missionary and non-missionary work. So,
well, where were the rank and file farm workers in this picture?
Very good question. I think they were even more confused and even more separate from what was going on. And if you talk to them today, the ones who stayed with the union, some of them got fed up. You know, they win an election and they'd never see the union again for 2 years, and the union supporters would have been fired, and nobody would even know. They were not functioning. That's right.
Farm worker, I want my ranch committee to have some power.
Exactly. The ranch committees were not functioning.
It's like the shop steward.
It's like, right.
I was a shop steward on the steel worker union. That sucked. But the ranch committee of the grassroots union is their realization of what they're fighting.
Exactly.
Right? And if they don't have any power in that committee, what the hell is going on?
That's right. And in Salinas, where there were ranch committees that were functioning, you had a leadership developing in the fields that believed, to me, it's still heartbreaking when Chava gets up and says this in Salinas at a recent forum, you know, that they believed what was being said, what they were being told, which was, you are going to be the ones who run the union. Right. You know, we want to turn the union over to farm workers. And they were like, here we are, we're ready. And that, you know, leads to a whole other set of confrontations. But they also did not share the vision that, you know, the ultimate goal. I mean, there are a lot of times when Chavez talks and writes about the idea that farm workers need to be educated to understand that the ultimate goal is to sacrifice for others, you know, as opposed to want the things that farm workers did want.
The thing
so,
is that, and this came really clear to me reading your book, is that it's the idea of sacrifice means you have to give something up. But if you're a farm worker and you're working at $2.10 an hour or a day, you know, then what are you going to give up? So what you're fighting for is to have something maybe that you can give up, which is maybe a little bit of time to go back to the field and organize. But you still have to feed, you know, all your kids and your family, and so the dichotomy of what he was asking for was these people to sacrifice versus from where they came from was like unrealistic because they were fighting so they could have just a little something, you know?
And they were winning that.
And they were winning that.
They were winning
and
that.
They were
and in Salinas, the lettuce workers were beginning to make good money.
Right.
And
whereas if you're making $60,000, you can sacrifice.
A conflict developed within the leadership of the union about how farm workers would be involved and would be running the union. And the vote and the conflict was over the volunteer system. We will never get farm workers involved, some argued, you know, if we do not pay salaries to staff. It just won't happen. They won't leave what are becoming good jobs in the fields in order to work with us. And so there was actually a 5-4 vote in the UFW Executive Board.
Pretty unheard of in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely unheard of. I mean, almost everything was always unanimous or very...